He chuckled against her, the vibration causing another gasp from Kira. He licked and sucked, letting Kira's words guide him.
"Like that," she breathed. "Like, oh, like that, but a little to the left. Holy shit. Yes, right there."
Her fingers dug into his scalp.
"Don't move."
She breathed out the words, demanded he stay, begged him to stay, right there. And he did. He stayed and licked and sucked, and his fingers dug into the soft flesh of her ass, and he thrust his hips mindlessly into the mattress because he couldn't help himself, because the higher Kira climbed, the more turned on he got. And when she broke, trembling and babbling about how good he was, how sweet and hot and good, he nearly came all over the newly made bed.
"Who are you?"
Kira was asking when he pulled away, resting his head on her still shaking thigh.
"I mean, really, where the hell did you come from?"
He couldn't help his satisfied grin as he ran his hand idly up and down Kira's side. Goosebumps peppled her smooth skin. "Are you cold?" he asked, already sitting, already grabbing a blanket from the couch.
"Maybe, a little."
Kira shrugged, but he tugged the blanket harder from the bottom of the pile. It came loose and brought with it a small pink oval-shaped thing that landed on the mattress between them. "What's this?" he asked, but Kira was swatting his hand away and grabbing the little pink object.
"Nothing."
"Nothing?" he asked, raising an eyebrow, like she had earlier, to get him to spill his guts.
"I'm not sure how you'll feel about it, and I don't want to ruin the moment," she said, holding her hands behind her back.
The fact that she was still naked, and the position did very fantastic things to her breasts, only convinced him further that nothing she said next could possibly ruin the moment.
"Try me."
She held out her palm, the vaguely tear-shaped pink thing sitting in her hand. She pressed the side, and it started to buzz.
"It's my vibrator."
Bennett's eyebrows rose.
"You keep your vibrator in the living room?"
"The living room is currently my bedroom, so yeah. And I didn't realize it was lost somewhere in the couch, but I can just put it away." He grabbed her wrist before she could run off with the vibrator.
"Don't. Don't. Don't."
He let the cocky grin return to his face.
"I want to see you use it."
The color rose in Kira's cheeks as she processed his request.
"You want to see me use it?"
He nodded, the idea alone making him harder than he'd been in months.
"I want to see you use this cute little pink device to get off."
Kira swallowed, her gaze wide and dark on his face. She didn't bother answering, just laid back into the blankets he pulled onto the mattress and spread her legs.
Holy shit.
Best snowstorm ever. She brought the vibrator to her center, and the image of a naked Kira in front of the fireplace, pleasuring herself, was sure to haunt him for the rest of his life. Bennett was watching her like she was the sexiest thing he'd ever seen, which was nice, since he was currently the sexiest thing she'd ever seen. He was kneeling on the mattress again, towering above her, his dark gaze never leaving her, but flicking from her face to her body to the device buzzing happily between her legs. The feel of it, of his appreciative stare, sent shivers down her body. He'd shucked the boxers at some point and gave himself a few rough strokes as he watched her. His thick thighs trembled each time he did, and Kira licked her lips at the sight.
"You are killing me," Ben groaned.
Kira smiled, moving the vibrator back and forth. She gasped, arching her back a little, suddenly wanting Bennett's hands on her again.
"You asked for it."
He chuckled low and deep, scratching a hand through the dark hair on his chest.
"True, I did."
He thrust into his hand again, and Kira whimpered. She was close, but she wanted more.
"You didn't happen to bring a condom, did you?"
The cocky smirk returned.
"I did."
Kira couldn't help her laugh, dropping her hand and her little buzzy friend to the side.
"You came to my Christmas tree farm with a condom in your pocket?"
"Two, in my wallet," You cocky bastard. He let go of his erection to lean over her again, caging her in. I tried to pretend I was going to stay away from you. His lips brushed over hers, but I can't. His nose ran along hers. Don't want to. I like you, Peaches. Kira swallowed. Get the condom, she said, her voice somewhere between breathy and bossy. Bennett's grin grew. She had only about 30 seconds to think while he was up and fishing through the wallet he'd left on the coffee table while his jeans were in the dryer. Only a mere 30 seconds to consider that she liked this man more than any other, maybe ever, and that he liked her, and that this sex was so far off the charts, and that inevitably it would suck when he left. Which he was going to do. And then she would be alone again, but somehow even more alone, because she'd have the memory of this day to look back on and miss. But then he was back, and he was big and warm and safe, and it was hard to remember that he would leave and she would be sad. It was hard to remember that this whole thing was just for today. It was hard to remember anything but Bennett. Spread your legs for me, he rasped, and she did it, loving that he was taking charge again, that his big hands were digging into her hips, and that he had listened to her. He wasn't treating her like she would break. He made her feel strong. Instead, he pushed into her, both of them groaning when he did. God damn, Kira, he growled. You feel so damn good. He thrust into her again and again, and the heat from the fire and Bennett's body coursed through her. So do you, she purred. So good. He paused, kissing her neck, his body pinning her to the mattress. Where is it? He asked. Where is what? What was he looking for? She already knew he didn't need directions to the exact spot she needed him. His hand fumbled around in the blankets next to them. Here. He held up the forgotten vibrator in triumph. He put it in her hand. Use it. He pushed away from her, angling her hips up with him. Shallow thrusts that she felt down to her toes. Holy shit, he grinned. I know. Now, use it. She pressed the vibrator until it turned on and then held it to her clit while Ben kept thrusting and she wasn't a religious woman, but was anyone else hearing a choir of angels singing? Oh, God, she gasped, gripping tight to Ben's forearm. Oh, my God, yeah? Holy shit, yeah. Don't stop. I wouldn't dream of it. He kept going, his hips thrusting into hers, his fingers digging into her, and the fact that he wasn't at all intimidated by the buzzy little robot in her hands just made the whole thing hotter. As it turned out, she had found some kind of magical sex unicorn in her fields. Pleasure shot through her, a hot flash, so intense it almost felt like pain. That's right, just like that. Let it all go. Bennett's words rained down on her overheated skin, and she broke. Sobbing and babbling, her orgasm tore through her like Bennett had performed some sort of sex exorcism, wringing every last bit of worry and stress from her body and replacing it with pleasure. She dropped the vibrator when she couldn't take any more. Bennett lowered her legs, leaning over her again, dropping kisses along her sweaty brow. You okay, Peaches? She could barely nod, barely whimper, yes. Because that damn nickname was too sweet and she liked it far too much. This was all too much. She couldn't. She shouldn't. But he was there, still there, kissing her and shushing her and telling her she was beautiful and perfect and it was all too good. She didn't deserve it. Any of it, but she wanted it. Bennett was still moving inside her, gently, slowly as he kissed her. Kira ran her hands down his back and he shivered. I need you, he whispered, his voice rough. Just a little more. I need you, Kira. She wrapped her legs around him, kissing him deep, nipping his bottom lip, giving him permission to go harder, to thrust into her until he came too, with a fierce curse. His body trembling with the force of it. He pressed his forehead to hers when it was over, her legs dropping to the bed. Did I hurt you? He asked. Kira shook her head, amazed that the first words out of his mouth were concern for her. But of course they were. No, I always cry during sex, she said, afraid of the emotion sweeping through her. Teasing was safer. His low chuckle ghosted across her cheeks. Okay. He dropped another kiss to her nose. But that was better than sex with an asshole, I'll give you that. He let that slow grin cross his face, and it was even sexier now that it was warranted. Glad to hear it, Peaches. We have not agreed on that nickname. Oh, right, I forgot. One more kiss and he got up, braving the cold to deal with the condom. He came back cursing. God damn, Kira, you need to raise the prices of those trees. You need that boiler now. She laughed, standing up to wrap a blanket around him. Come on, let's go take a nice hot shower. The storm isn't over yet. She threw a flirty wink over her shoulder on her way out of the living room, hoping she was covering the panic currently flooding her veins at the thought of all this ending as soon as the snowplows came rolling through. She should have known this was another one of her bad ideas, another example of her taking what she wanted and giving no thought to the consequences. But at least this time, she'd be the only one to get hurt. Chapter 19. So, how long do you think the storm will last? Kira asked as she studied her letter tiles. They'd found an ancient Scrabble board in the back of the closet Kira had been using for her towels, and it was now laid out between them on the mattress. After their shower, he'd built the fire back up, and it crackled and popped, filling the room with warmth and calm. They'd just finished what Kira called a snowstorm empty the refrigerator charcuterie board for their dinner. It consisted of cheese and crackers, several types of pickles, leftover rotisserie chicken from the little grocery store in town, grapes, and chocolate-covered almonds that Kira bought in bulk. It was delicious. It seems like it's already winding down. He'd been avoiding looking out the window for a while now, not wanting to confirm that the snow had significantly slowed down, although the wind continued to rattle Kira's old windows. Kira looked up at him, a trace of worry between her brows. Roads are probably still bad, though, she said. Bennett bit down on his smile. She didn't want him to go, which was good, since he was in no hurry to leave either, a fact he was trying very hard to ignore. Probably. I don't think they'll get the roads cleared until morning. Kira blew out a little sigh and arranged her letters on the board. Touch. Double word score. Nice one, he said, smirking at the board. Kira had already played lick, taste, nibble, clench, and hard. She was winning, in more ways than one. He was half hard again, thinking about how and where he wanted to lick, taste, and touch her. She grinned at him in that wide-open way that he'd just discovered about her. It was unexpected. She was unexpected. This whole day had gone so differently than he'd planned this morning when he left the house. It felt like a lifetime ago that he decided staying away from Kira was the best course of action. He didn't know who that Bennett was anymore, the one who'd never seen this goofy Kira grin, the one who'd never seen her naked, kissed her skin, felt her come. He didn't envy that guy. That guy was severely missing out. The fact that he would be that guy again soon, the guy without Kira in his life, weighed heavy in his gut. How do you think the dogs are doing? She asked, distracting him from his thoughts. Probably being spoiled by my sister, he said. He grabbed his phone to check for messages from Jeannie. Nicole's name flashed on the screen as soon as he turned it back on, but he swiped away her texts without reading them. He was finally ready to put his toxic relationship with her behind him. Jeannie sent pics, he said, holding up his phone for Kira to see. The dogs were snuggled in front of Logan's fireplace, sound asleep. Kira giggled. I guess they're settled in. They don't even miss me. She was studying him as he put the phone down. What? She gave a little shrug. Between the condoms in your wallet and sending the dogs off to a babysitter, seems like you planned this whole thing. He huffed a self-deprecating laugh. And I thought I was swearing you off for good. She smirked. Guess it didn't work. Guess not. My subconscious knew what I was up to. Kira fidgeted with her letter tiles, rearranging them on her rack. She blew out a little sigh before she spoke. I'm not like her. His eyebrows rose in surprise. I mean, I just want you to know, I'm not trying to, like, use you and leave you, but that's kind of the situation we're in, and I don't want you to, I don't know, hate me. I won't hate you. We both know what this is. It's entirely different than me uprooting my life for Nicole. This is just two people who mutually agreed to have a fun snow day. Is that what this was? Right. She nodded, but still wasn't meeting his eye. I don't leave until after New Year's, he said, forgetting about the game, forgetting about why he should stay away from Kira. Okay. Her gaze met his again, suspicion in her dark eyes. Let's extend this thing. She raised a brow. You want to keep playing old board games and eating the scraps from my pantry? Yes. Kira laughed. Okay, Bennett. I do. I want to do all of that. I want to do whatever. I just want some more time with you. If all Kira wanted to do was hang out for the rest of the time here, he'd be into it. He just wanted to see her again, and he was out of dumb excuses to come up here. He wanted to come see her, just to come see her. She stopped laughing, the look on her face somewhere between incredulous and afraid. I don't know if that's a good idea. Ben nodded, taking his gaze back to the board, not wanting to pressure her. He played the word please and caught Kira's small smile when she read it. Won't it make things harder when you have to go? She asked, her voice small, as though she didn't want to ask the question, like it revealed more than she meant to. Maybe. But I like you. I want to spend time with you. You keep saying that. Saying what? That you like me. Because I do. Why does that surprise you? She shrugged like she didn't care, but her face told him otherwise. I guess I've never been particularly likable before. I mean, people like me for my money or the places I could get them into, or they like me long enough to sleep with me, but... She laughed a little, a bitter sound. Yeah, I guess people don't typically just like me. Then they obviously don't know you. Ben, she sighed, but he couldn't help his smile, because he liked it when she called him that. Yeah. You don't have to be so damn sweet all the time. She was scowling at him like she was angry, but the next word she played was good boy, which was technically two words, but he decided to allow it. So, is that a yes, then? Kara blew out a long sigh, like he was trying her patience. But her lips had tipped up in the corner. Under one condition. Okay, name it. At the end of this thing, you need to go home. Kira, of course I'm going home. No, I mean it. I am a mess, Ben. I will continue to be a mess for the foreseeable future. This whole farm will be a mess. You absolutely cannot get it into your head that you're going to somehow stay here and fix it. Fix me. I don't want to fix you. You don't need fixing. She scoffed, but that was bullshit, so he grabbed her wrists, making her pay attention. I think it's awesome that you're starting over, that you're trying to do better, but don't ever, for one second, let anyone make you think you need fixing. Do you understand me? His voice was rougher than he'd intended, but he needed her to know this. He'd wanted to help her, to keep her warm and safe, but he had never once thought that she needed him to fix things for her. Her eyes widened in surprise, the color high on her cheeks. Her pulse raced beneath his fingers. He relaxed his grip. Sorry. She pulled her hands from his and swiped the scrabble board off the bed in an instant, the tiles scattered across the wood floor. Kira, what? She tackled him before he could ask what the hell was going on. She kissed him hard on the mouth before pulling back. You stupid, sweet, infuriating man. She kissed him a little softer this time.
I like you, too.
He smiled. Sorry.
Yeah, me too. I really tried not to.
I know.
But you have to promise me you'll go,
she whispered. After New Year's, you'll go back home to your real life. I might get selfish, fall back into old habits. I might try to keep you.
He nodded, feeling his cheeks flush, liking the idea of her wanting him to stay a little too much.
But no, he wasn't going down that road again.
I'll go.
Of course he would go. He had a life to get back to. This was a vacation, a Christmas fling. Just because he wanted to extend it a little longer didn't mean he'd forgotten the dangers of giving up everything to fit into someone else's life. He was determined not to do that again, no matter how tempting Kira might be.
Okay, Kira nodded. Deal.
There's something else I have to tell you.
Okay.
The whole town thinks there's a dead body buried somewhere on your farm, and they sent me here to find it.
The whole town thinks what?
Obviously, Bennett's solid body beneath her had impaired her hearing somehow, because what he'd just said made absolutely no sense. He winced. The town thinks the old owner buried a body here. They didn't want you to find it and be traumatized, I guess. Honestly, their reasoning is all a little fuzzy at this point.
Kira pushed up on his chest, but she wasn't in a hurry to move off of him completely.
Bennett was very comfortable.
And why did they think this?
Something about a cryptic letter left behind after he died. The town seemed split between a possible dead body and some kind of treasure, or maybe money.
Treasure? Money? Bennett!
His eyes widened as her voice rose.
If there's a treasure on this farm, I need it.
He let out a chuckle, and she felt it rumble through her chest. I don't think there's anything here, Peaches. She didn't bother to correct the nickname. It was growing on her. The fact that he wanted to give her one was growing on her, too.
That's probably what the cryptic list was all about. The treasure, Kira. And I found his will. Edwin didn't have many relatives. He left a lot of stuff here in the house. Maybe there is something valuable here.
It seems unlikely.
Oh, and why is that, Detective? You did such a thorough search while you were walking your dogs and banging around in my basement?
What was I supposed to do, start digging holes between your trees?
You were supposed to tell me.
Right. Yep, sorry about that. But in my defense, she rolled her eyes, but was having trouble keeping the smile off her face, especially since Bennett had started rubbing up and down her back with his big warm hands.
You didn't seem open to input when I first met you.
She huffed and he laughed. And after that, I just wanted an excuse to keep coming up here.
Because of your love of Christmas trees and bad hot chocolate? She teased.
Yep, that was exactly it. He planted a kiss on her chin, and she tipped toward him, letting him capture her lips.
Oh, and I love to be verbally abused by local business owners.
She giggled, and he kissed the sound from her lips.
Kira had been undervaluing kissing her entire life.
Kissing Bennett, being kissed by him, was an event in and of itself. And right now, it was lazy and delicious and warm. She felt like she could do this forever, kiss him in front of a crackling fire. She didn't want it to end.
Stretched out on top of him, his hands on her body, Kara had never felt more content.
It was scary. It was dangerous. She pulled away and sat up, straddling a rosy-cheeked, swollen-lipped Bennett, and he looked so damn good. It scared her even more. It was going to hurt like hell when he left. And if she was already a half-person without Chloe, how much of herself would even be left? How had she let this happen? Why was she incapable of making a single good decision?
What happened? He asked, brow suddenly furrowed in concern.
Kira bristled.
What do you mean? Nothing happened. I just needed some oxygen.
Bennett watched her, one hand running idly up and down her thigh.
Okay. So are there any other details about this treasure, like a map or something?
Sorry to disappoint you, but I'm pretty sure this is just a crazy town rumor. She frowned.
Right.
Probably. Hey, come here. He tugged her back down, and her body went without her permission. He was so warm and comfortable, she couldn't help it. Bennett was a bad decision, wrapped in a good decision package, but it was too late to fight it now. He rolled them a bit and tucked her into his side. I could live here. She sighed, and he misinterpreted her change in mood. I am sorry I didn't tell you sooner, and I'm sorry I got your hopes up, but the farm is doing great, and I'm sure you'll have a shiny new boiler in no time.
Sure, yeah, probably.
Maybe if she started selling her organs along with Christmas trees, she could fix up the whole house. He rested his chin on the top of her head, and she nuzzled her face in the crook of his neck. This spot right here was where she would set up her new home if she could. She was such an idiot. You're doing great, Kira. And she didn't know if it was his words, or his hand stroking her hair, or the warm fire, or this crazy day, but her feelings threatened to overwhelm her again. It was a rare thing for someone to tell her she was doing a good job and actually mean it. She sniffled a little, and Bennett tried to pull back to see her face, but she clung tight to him like a desperate little barnacle. She wasn't ready to leave this warm cove of his body yet, not until she was forced to.
I'm fine. Just keep doing that to my hair.
She felt his soft laugh ruffle her hair.
At your service, Peaches.
Chapter 20. The next morning dawned bright, blinding, and white outside her windows. She needed to get darker shades for this room if she was going to keep sleeping here. She was about to burrow deeper under the covers when she realized the body that had kept her warm and cozy all night was missing.
God, last night had been so perfect, so life-alteringly perfect.
She didn't want to think about it in the light of day, but it was too late. She was already thinking about it, thinking about how Bennett had held her until she was done with her little emotional breakdown, and then how he'd rolled over and made her come like 5 more times, and how each time her defenses came down a little more until she was completely exposed and there was nothing she could do about it. And the only consolation was that he seemed to be feeling the same way, that he seemed just as undone as she was, that each time he slid into her, he seemed just as awestruck as she was, just as destroyed. And she didn't know what to do now, except to keep going with this bad idea, because she was stupid to go down this road, but she wasn't stupid enough to stop now. She had Bennett until New Year's, and she was going to hold on to him with both greedy hands until then.
Bennett,
she called, peeking out into the chilly room. The fire had died down in the night, and now it was cold, even in the confines of the living room blanket fort.
Ben?
No answer. But when she sat up, she found a travel mug next to her side of the bed. Weird. She took a sip, piping hot coffee from her own kitchen. He'd put it in a travel mug to keep it hot in this damn house.
Why was he so thoughtful?
Her resolve not to chain him to the radiator and keep him here forever was weakening.
Keep it together, Kira.
She took another sip, fortifying herself, and then emerged from the blankets. Where did he go? She padded over to the front window in her fuzzy socks, a necessity for walking across these freezing floors. The world outside was white. The sun had come out, and the snow on the trees sparkled like fairy dust. It was objectively beautiful. Even Kira had to admit it. And she found an unexpected excitement building up in her belly. She wanted to go play in the snow, a feeling nearly as foreign as wanting to keep the man she'd slept with last night. Quickly donning several more layers, her boots, coat, hat, and gloves, ugh, playing in the snow was hard already, Kira stepped out into the brilliant morning before her enthusiasm could wane too much. Bennett, apparently giving up on fighting his helper instincts, had already shoveled the walk from her door to the driveway. After that, footprints had plowed through the snow and into the tree fields. Even after all the storm warnings and the high winds of yesterday, the snow wasn't actually that deep, less than a foot, she would guess. So Kira followed the footprints into the trees. The snow was light and fluffy, a cold, sparkly powder. She didn't have to walk far before she found him. Bennett had cleared the snow away from one of her trees and was kneeling beside it, sawing it down. He had on that vest of his and had rolled up the sleeves of his Henley. Kira watched his arms flex and bunch as he sawed. "Aren't you cold?" she asked, as he looked up at her in surprise. The smile he gave her warmed her to her toes.
"Nah, worked up a sweat shoveling."
"Thanks for doing that." He shrugged.
"You weren't supposed to find me."
He gestured to the tree. It was supposed to be a surprise.
"A surprise that you were trying to run off with another free tree?"
He laughed.
"You caught me."
"I knew it. You seduced me so you could continue your quest for the perfect Christmas tree."
"That's definitely not why I seduced you," he said, holding her gaze, his breath a visible cloud in front of him. Phew. Somehow, she had worked up a sweat, too.
He grinned and went back to sawing, and Kira went back to objectifying him while he did it. A few more pushes of the saw back and forth through the trunk, and Bennett reached up and pushed it over, just like that. Lumberjack fantasies that Kira didn't even know she had rushed into her head.
"It's for you, actually," he said, standing up next to the tree.
"For me?"
"Yeah. You didn't have a tree yet, so I figured..."
"You cut down a Christmas tree for me?"
"Yeah, I just thought..." She launched herself at him, and he caught her with a surprised laugh. He looked down at her and planted a kiss on her lips.
"Morning," he said with a grin.
"Good morning."
She couldn't stop smiling at him, like the big dummy that she was, but he cut her a tree. He did manual labor for her, and God help her, but it was hot.
"Thank you for my tree."
And the best part was that he did it just because he wanted to, because this beautiful man did things for people he cared about, and she was one of those people. He didn't do this to get something from her in return, or worse, just because her parents had paid him to do it.
"You're welcome."
He held her a minute longer, just staring at her in the bright morning light, like he didn't want to look away, like he was memorizing her. She could tell because she was doing it too, memorizing him, soaking him in.
"We should probably get inside," he said, finally.
"Okay," she said, as he put her back down in the snow. But there was one more thing she wanted to do to complete this Christmas card perfect morning. She stooped down and grabbed a handful of snow. Bennett was eyeing her skeptically when she straightened.
"What you doing, Peaches?"
She squeezed the snow, attempting to make a ball, but the whole thing just kind of exploded in her face.
Ben laughed. "Are you trying to make a snowball?"
He stooped down to grab his own handful of snow, and Kira thought she may have miscalculated this little plan. He grinned at her before he nailed her in the side.
"Hey!"
She shrieked and ducked behind a tree. "No fair! No fair! It was self-defense!" Ben chuckled. Kira picked up more snow and squeezed it a bit more gently this time, until she had a decently packed snowball. Then she popped out from her hiding place and launched her attack. Bennett ducked and the snowball hit the nearest tree. Oh, she had definitely miscalculated. She ran behind the next tree, scooping up snow as she went. Bennett threw three more rapid-fire snowballs into her hiding place. Snow rained down from the branches.
"You're supposed to go easy on me," she yelled.
"Now that's not how this works," he said, laughter clear in his voice.
That bastard. She'd show him. She grabbed more snow and packed it tight. She jumped out from her hiding place and whipped the snowball at Bennett. The ball exploded against the side of his head, snow spraying everywhere. He froze.
"Oh, shit."
Kira clamped her mittened hands over her mouth. "Oops." Bennett stared at her, his eyes narrowed as the snow dripped down his neck.
"Uh-oh."
He ran straight for her, and Kira tried to turn and run, but she was too slow.
He grabbed her around her waist and took them both down into a snowbank. Kira shrieked, her world suddenly tipped sideways. Bennett loomed over her, panting, his face red from where she'd hit him.
"No face shots, Peaches," he growled, but his eyes were lit up with mischief.
"I was not informed of the official snowball fight rules," she said, tamping down a giggle, her own breath coming out in short gasps.
"Well, now you have to face the consequences of your actions." Kira's eyes widened.
"What are you going to do to me?"
Bennett's smile grew wicked as he reached up to the tree branch above them.
"Ben, what?"
He shook the branch, and snow rained down on her face. She shrieked and pushed him over, rolling on top of him in the snow. He laughed, the sound shaking her body.
"Sorry," he said between laughs. "I couldn't help it."
Kira wiped her face with her mitten.
"And here I was, thinking you were such a nice guy."
"I am a nice guy."
He pushed the snow-crusted hair out of her face, his smile softening around the edges.
"I just take snowball fights very seriously."
She huffed, trying to pretend to be mad, but the way he was looking at her was quickly melting her resolve. He looked too damn cute and too damn happy, like a kid home from school on a snow day. He raised his head and planted a kiss on her nose.
"How can I make it up to you?" he asked, and Kira got a mischievous look of her own.
"Well, I don't have anything to decorate my tree with, but I thought we could check the attic. I've been too scared to go up there alone."
She fluttered her lashes at him, damsel in distress style, and he laughed.
"I'm sure I could find time for a trip to the attic this morning.
Yay! Now, let's get out of this snow. I'm freezing."
She wiggled her way off his body in an entirely unnecessary way that had him red-faced by the time they were both standing again, and not because of the cold.
"Let me help you carry it back," she said, gesturing to her tree, attempting to ignore the heat in his gaze.
Bennett raised an eyebrow.
"I can do it," she insisted, not willing to be outdone in her snowball fighting and tree-carrying skills in one morning.
Ben shrugged. "You get the top, and I'll get the bottom."
"Okay."
She grabbed the spindly top of the tree, and Bennett hefted the back, and she was sure she wasn't doing anything but leading the way and getting her gloves all sappy, but it was nice to feel helpful.
"I might be starting to understand why people like this," she said, glancing back at Bennett, who was definitely carrying the bulk of the weight.
She got distracted by his arms again and almost led them into a snowbank.
"Oh, yeah?"
"Yeah," she said, steering the tree and getting them back on a straight path.
"It's very festive."
Bennett chuckled again.
"Glad you're coming around to it."
They trudged back up her front path.
"And you look hot as a lumberjack."
Another low chuckle.
"I might have time for more than just a trip to the attic," he said, and Kira's toes curled in her boots.
"Oh, really?"
She looked back, and his gaze was hot, even out here in the snow.
"How can you possibly look at me like that when I'm dressed in a sleeping bag with sleeves?"
"I remember what's under it," he said, waggling his eyebrows, and Kira laughed, heat rising to her cheeks.
"Don't you have to work today?"
she asked as they dragged the tree up the front steps.
"I don't think either of us can do anything today until we're plowed out of here."
Bennett gestured to the still-covered driveway and the parking lot of the tree farm in the distance. It was all untouched whiteness, and Kira wished it would last.
"Is it wrong that I kind of hope Logan's truck is out of gas?"
Bennett had propped the tree up beside the door and pulled her close instead. He smelled like pine and the metallic scent of cold air on warm skin.
"It's not wrong. I mean, it was my Christmas wish that got us snowed in the first place."
She glanced up at him and he was smiling, his eyes bright this morning.
"Right. I forgot you were responsible for this whole winter storm.
What can I say? I've been very good this year."
Kira laughed, leaning into him. Had it really only been a week ago that she'd pictured doing this at the tree lighting festival? And now it felt so easy, so natural, already something she felt entitled to. She pulled away.
"Wow, and so modest, too."
He shrugged the playful smirk on his lips. How about some breakfast before we search the attic?
Sure.
Kira followed him into the house, appreciating what little warmth it held after being out in the cold. The power had been restored sometime in the night, so at least they had that. They shucked off their outerwear, hanging it over chairs and hooks to dry, as Bennett talked about hopefully finding a tree stand up in the attic and needing to get some decorative fairy lights, too. And Kira tried desperately not to get too attached to the cozy domesticity of it all. But it was too late, of course. Her gnawing loneliness was already eating this up. This time with Bennett, his aimless chatter, his warm body, his sweet smile. She wanted it. And the spoiled rich girl inside her stamped her foot, fists clenched at her sides. She wanted it. She wanted him. And the worst part was, she could see perfectly how she could get him. It wouldn't take much to convince him. She could picture it. Even with his assurances that he had no plans to stay, Kira knew a few well-placed comments, a few promises, a few more farm disasters, and the scales would easily tip in her favor. Bennett would stay. He would fill the lonely bits in her heart. He would do all the shit around here she didn't want to do, or didn't know how to do. And maybe for a while they'd be happy. Except, underneath, she'd know she'd have trapped him here. She'd have manipulated him. And when had she ever been one for cozy domesticity anyway? What happened when she got tired of it? Of him? Although, as she watched him move around her kitchen, pouring coffee and scrambling eggs, she couldn't picture getting tired of this. But it would happen one day, surely. And then she'd be forced to break this man's heart, this good man. All because she couldn't stand to be alone for a little while. All because she'd taken and taken and taken from him, like she always did. She tried to smile when he slid the plate of eggs and toast in front of her, but her face felt cold and immovable. "You okay?" he asked, and she met his eye across the table. His face was still a little red from shoveling and the cold, and the hair along his forehead was damp with sweat. His gray eyes were warm this morning, more like her favorite soft wool blanket than a stormy sky. The way he looked at her made her physically hurt, a deep ache already forming in the hole he would leave when he went home. Kira swallowed hard. "No more of this. Bennett is a holiday fling and nothing more. Something you've done plenty of times in your life. Now let it go." She smiled her beauty pageant smile, her mother's society party smile. She faked it until her cheeks hurt. "Yep, just fine." Chapter 21. "How is it possible it's even colder up here?" Kira blew on her hands and rubbed them together for warmth.
"Well, it's closed off from the rest of the house, and there's no heat source up here, so..."
She glared at him. Right. She wasn't actually looking for an answer. Something had happened in between hauling that Christmas tree into the house and now, and he wasn't sure what it was, except that Kira's prickly spines were back out in full force. But maybe he did understand. After last night, he was feeling torn open in ways he hadn't felt in years. If Kira was feeling half that vulnerable, she was obviously just protecting herself. Something he should probably consider doing himself. Instead, he just wanted to chop down trees for her and make her breakfast and coax that smile back onto her face, because he was a sucker to his very core, a human doormat. "There's a lot of boxes up here," he said, changing the topic from heating issues to the task at hand. "So we might find something useful." Kira ran her fingers over the top of a dusty box. "He left so much behind. Well, according to Jeannie, there was a lot more, but they had to clear it out before selling it." He scanned the attic. Stacks of cardboard boxes leaned precariously, slumped and crumpled with age. A few old lamps collecting dust in one corner, an ancient TV inhabiting the other. He could only stand up straight in the middle of the space, the slope of the roof on either side, making it impossible not to hit his head along the edges of the room. Kira peered at the handwriting scribbled on the sides of the boxes.
Books, cassette tapes, clothes, Kira read.
Oh, this one says holiday. That might be promising. She opened the box and looked in. She pulled out a rather creepy, elfish-looking Santa doll.
Yikes, he said. The box is full of them.
Bennett crossed the attic to look for himself.
Wow.
An entire collection of terrifying Santas, Kira said, rifling through the box. She pulled out another and held it up.
I feel like it can see into my soul, he said, and the doll stared at him.
Kira stifled a laugh.
Why are old dolls so terrifying? She asked, as she put scary Santa back and closed the box.
Because it's way too easy to picture their heads turning independently to look at you.
True. Was that a trace of amusement he heard? He would run with that.
Bennett moved the Santa box so they could get to the one beneath it, also marked holiday.
I'm almost scared to look. Might be filled with deranged elves or something.
Baby, Kira said, but the teasing tone was back in her voice as she nudged him out of the way.
Jackpot.
The box was filled with carefully wrapped ornaments. Kira undid the yellowed newspaper around one and revealed a white ball with a delicate design and silver glitter snaking around it. She breathed a little sigh of awe, and Bennett's heart stumbled in his chest.
They're beautiful, she said.
She took out another and another, passing them to him as she unwrapped them, until his arms were filled with shimmering white and silver and gold ornaments, and the smile was back on Kira's face. And he didn't care that they were in the freezing cold attic, or that the dust was tickling his nose, or that he was pretty sure he'd heard the rumble of snowplows on the road. He would have stood there forever, cradling the fragile decorations, wishing Kira would trust him to hold more than that, even though he didn't really deserve to, even though he was leaving. She smiled at the bounty in his arms, unaware of the direction of his thoughts.
Well, I was half hoping we'd find a box marked treasure, but this is pretty good, too.
And I'm glad we didn't find any skeletons.
We didn't open all the boxes, she said, taking the ornaments back one by one and placing them carefully in the box to bring downstairs.
Don't even joke about that.
She laughed, and it sounded like hope.
I didn't realize you were such a scaredy cat, Ben.
Ben, like she knew him. Ben, like they were more than just two people passing by each other in the randomness of life.
Scaredy cat? No, I just would rather not find body parts in musty old attics.
Where would you rather find body parts?
Ideally, still attached to the person they belong to.
Another small laugh as she snooped around at a few more boxes.
Well, I guess that's it for holiday stuff. I'll come back to treasure hunt another day, she said, grabbing the ornament box before he could do it for her.
She turned and her hip bumped another box. It toppled to the ground, spilling its contents across the attic floor.
Oh, shit.
She put the ornaments down and crouched to pick up the mess.
Bennett stooped to help her.
What are these?
He picked up one of the envelopes from the floor.
Old letters?
Kira sat on the dusty floor, legs stretched in front of her. She blew her bangs out of her face with a breath, and her eyes widened as she turned the paper in her hand over.
More old letters.
She peeled open the envelope and pulled out a yellow piece of paper.
Dear Ellen, my heart aches without you, she read.
Oh, my God, they're old love letters.
Her gaze met his, uninhibited excitement written across her face, and Bennett knew he was seeing something most people didn't get to.
Were people ever more vulnerable than when they were unapologetically excited about something?
He didn't think so.
Cool, he said. And she looked at him with an exasperated expression, like he wasn't fully understanding the awesomeness of the situation.
It's very cool.
She waved a letter between them.
It makes me sad that we won't have anything like this.
We?
She shook her head, hastily stopping his question.
I meant our generation. Like, no one will find their grandmother's old letters anymore. unless people are printing out their DMs. Kira rolled her eyes, but her lips tipped up in amusement.
Right, unless someone out there is printing out their DMs. In the future, no one will just stumble upon a box of old letters. Makes me kind of sad.
She went back to reading the letter, and he opened the envelope he was holding and scanned the letter.
Kira. Whoa.
Their heads snapped up at the same time. A delicious blush had crept up Kira's cheeks.
They're dirty letters, she said, eyes wide.
Bennett doubled over with laughter, a hand across his stomach, letting the letter fall from his fingertips. Kira kept reading.
This is absolutely filthy, she gasped.
Bennett wheezed, sure he was sucking in so much attic dust that he'd be sneezing until New Year's, but the moment was too absurd not to.
At least they're not your grandmother's letters, he said between laughs. Kira swatted his shoulder.
Don't you dare bring my grandmother into this.
Ben wiped the tears from his eyes.
You did, not me.
She frowned, still reading.
I mean, it's still very romantic.
He wanted her so bad, he pined for her. She picked up another letter.
That's hot.
Bennett grabbed another letter to avoid staring at Kira while she read. Dear Ellen, I think about you constantly, day and night. You haunt my thoughts. Your sweet mouth, the perfect curve of your breasts, the memory of the taste of your pussy keeps me alive, keeps me fighting, day after day.
Wow. Ellen must have been one hell of a woman, he muttered, although he could relate to poor Edwin's feelings.
He must have been in Vietnam when he wrote these, Kira said, pointing out the dates on the letters. I wonder if she ever wrote the poor guy back.
But they got married, so she must have at some point. Maybe they got lost?
She rifled through the letters, looking for any response to Edwin's ardor.
She must have responded. How could she not?
Kira was on her knees now, examining the other boxes for more letters.
She couldn't have just left him hanging. All his thoughts and feelings just flapping in the breeze. I mean, he loved her. Look at how he loved her. And he must have been so lonely out there thinking of her.
Her voice cracked. Kira. She kept looking, opening box after box.
They must be here somewhere.
Kira.
I'm sure they're here.
Peaches. Her gaze snapped to his.
What?
I found one.
Her eyes lit up.
You did? She crawled back to the letters, still scattered on the floor, and he handed her the one letter he could see with Edwin's name and platoon number on it.
Dear Eddie, she read, spreading the letter out on her lap. Your letters never fail to make me blush. I had to start reading them in private, because my sisters are always trying to read over my shoulder. But I don't regret anything we did before you left, and I'm happy the memories are keeping you warm while you're gone. Please come back to me.
Kira's voice cracked on that line, and she sniffed a little, but kept going.
You're the only boy for me. I miss you. All my love, Ellen.
She looked up at him, tears glistening in her eyes.
I didn't know you were such a romantic, Peaches, he teased, his voice soft.
She huffed.
I hide it well.
I think it's safe to assume Eddie didn't kill Ellen.
Definitely not.
He crawled closer, leaning over the pile of love letters from Edwin to his beautiful wife. Kira lifted her face to him and he brushed his lips across her cheek. She sighed and his mouth found hers, warm and soft and welcoming. A side of her no one else saw. He pulled away and leaned his forehead against hers, and when her gaze met his, the force of his desire hit him hard in the gut. Not just desire for her body, although that was back too, but God, how he wished he could be the one for her.
Let's go back downstairs. You're freezing, he said.
Her practical needs, the only thing he could care for right now. She let him pull her up after they carefully returned the letters to their box. He carried the Christmas ornaments downstairs and led Kira back to the living room. He stoked the fire. He silently undressed first himself and then her, tossing their dusty clothes aside. He
He wrapped her in blankets and the warmth of his skin. He kissed the fresh tears from her cheeks.
Ben?
Yeah, he whispered as he dragged his lips across her throat. She trembled in his arms.
I'm glad you're here.
And he could hear the loneliness in her voice, and he wanted to banish it forever. Dangerous thoughts for a man who had to leave in 2 weeks.
Me too.
She reached between them and guided him to her, and he eased into her wet heat again, even though she must be sore, and so was he. But they were running out of time, and there was nowhere in the world he'd rather be. He pushed deeper, and she gasped, her fingers in his hair, her ankles digging into his back.
Yes,
she whispered, and please, and don't stop, and Ben, and yes, yes, yes. And he felt her tighten around him, the quickness of her pleasure surprising them both, but she clung to him as it crested. And then he found his, too, buried deep, his face pressed against the pulse rapidly beating against her throat. And for that brief moment she was his, and everything made sense. Unfortunately, Logan never ran out of gas. The rumble of his plow tore through the moment, and Bennett vowed to never forgive the man for as long as he lived. The snowstorm was officially over. Chapter 22.
Thanks, Santa. Kara shook the old man's mittened hand, and he actually ho-ho-hoed at her. She wasn't entirely sure if he thought he really was Santa or not, but she wasn't about to ask. He'd just spent the entire day in the cabin greeting dozens of sticky children, plenty of whom had screamed at the sight of him. The man had endured a lot in the name of Christmas joy. He could think whatever he wanted about himself. He'd just brought her a ton of business.
My pleasure, Miss North.
His eyes twinkled. Maybe he really was. Kira shook her head. Owning this winter wonderland was making her nuts.
Drive safe,
she called as Santa headed to his car. The sun had set over an hour ago, and the lights she'd strung up across the trees twinkled merrily above her. Even a week later, the snow from the storm had stuck around, creating an ambiance she couldn't have paid for. And she had to admit, looking around at the lights and the trees and the happy families piling into cars, blaring Christmas carols from the speakers, she almost didn't hate Christmas. And she was sure as hell proud of what she'd built.
Hey, Peaches.
The sound of Bennett's voice pulled her attention to the window of the cabin, where his face peered out at her. Did Santa mean to leave this giant box of candy canes behind?
Oh, yeah. He said we could keep them. Something about having his own special supply.
Bennett chuckled, the sound warm and familiar. That guy was bizarre.
Very.
He gave her another smile and then popped back inside, where he was probably cleaning up. It was 1 week until Christmas, and Bennett had sort of moved in and had kind of been helping her run the place since the snowstorm, and it was all a terribly bad idea, and yet... He came out of the little cabin, down the steps, and put an arm around her.
Ready to head home?
Home. Together. She was in so deep.
Yep.
They walked from the tree farm parking lot up the drive to her house, and it was all such an epically bad idea, but she couldn't seem to walk away from it. After the storm, Bennett had gone back to Jeannie's apartment, and they'd pretended that they were actually parting ways, that the end of the storm heralded the end of them. There really was no point in extending this fling until New Year's Day. She tried to tell herself it was for the best, that there was no need to drag this out. Better to say goodbye now. But it was Christmas. No one wanted to be alone for Christmas. And Chloe was across the world, and her parents made her crazy. And what was she supposed to do? Ignore the sexy man she liked just because he was leaving soon? Why start missing him before she had to? So she might have invited him back in a moment of weakness, and he'd accepted, and he'd brought some extra clothes, and his dog, and his laptop, and now for a week
He'd worked from her kitchen table and helped her when she needed it, and they'd slept on the mattress he'd dragged in front of the fire. And it was all so good that Kira couldn't give it up. Not yet. Describe yourself in two words, selfish and stupid. That was her. But people could only change so much at one time, right? She didn't want to sprain something. They walked into the house to find Elizabeth laid out on the bed by the fire, and the two smaller dogs perched on the couch, snoring loudly. Off the bed. Bennett snapped his fingers, and the big dog looked at him with doleful eyes. Kira laughed as he gave a sigh of frustration. Off the bed, he growled, and the dog slowly unwound herself and sauntered over to the dog bed they'd put in the corner. The other corner was filled with Kira's Christmas tree, decorated with the attic ornaments and more lights than really seemed necessary, but Bennett had insisted. He'd also strung white lights across the mantel, and suddenly Kira was living inside one of